Welcome to another exciting episode of TWAT Radio. My name is Dan from the Links
and I'm Pat. Show. And
Pat's here with me. Go ahead, Pat, chime in now.
How's it going, everybody? We're going to do another episode talking about video editing and DVD production in Linux.
Yes, this is part two. Part one was Pat's episode a couple days ago, and this time around, we're going to continue where we left off, talking about producing DVDs, video CDs, and other tools that you can use to encode or re-encode video in Linux. And last week, last episode, a recap, we talked about being able to pull video in and, you know, some applications that you can edit video with.
Yeah, and I guess this time we're going to talk about actual applications to maybe create a video.
Right, and you have a lot more experience in doing this than I do. Pat, because I have yet to create a DVD. I have a couple of projects on the back burner, and using Kino, which I guess is what you primarily use to create a DVD, is pretty darn easy.
Yeah, Kino's nice because it comes with a whole bunch of scripts on the back end where you can export your video to a DVD. Now, the only limitation that the Kino export script is that it won't create any menus for you. Now, if you want to do menuing, you're going to have to use another application. A couple of different applications that you could use is QDVD Author from Viral Ocan, who we know very well from the tech show, and also DVD Styler is the other application that works very well. I've used both, and they both work pretty well. QDVD Author seems to be more active. Viral seems to be constantly updating, adding new features, and getting rid of bugs. You installed the most recent version, didn't you, Dan, from CVS?
Yes, on Arch, and I had problems compiling it, and sent an email to the QDVD Author mailing list, and Viral had a response for me in like 30 minutes, and a fix in the CVS, pulled it down, and installed, no problem, compiled no problem. And, you know, I got to give Viral Ocan two thumbs up. His support of QDVD Author is phenomenal. I mean, my experience with him the first time around when we did it on Slackware, it was about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been at least a year since we've been talking to him.
Yeah, and, you know, I went to compile it under Slackware and had an issue with the QT version, and he had a fix in a few minutes. In fact, he emailed us the fix because he heard us talking about it on the show. At the end of the show, he heard me saying it wasn't compiling. He had a fix. Or said he emailed that information, and, you know, so really good support with QDVD Author. Not to say that the other applications wouldn't have similar support, but because we've spoken with Viral and it worked with him, it's been really, really good. It's nice to have, you know, that kind of response.
Yeah, unfortunately not everybody has that, but normally what these applications do, you need to have a video file that's an MPEG-2 format. I know that's the case with DVD Styler, is also QDVD Author. And then you can import the video. And then what you'll do is you'll go about, you can add a background image, you could add multiple video files, and then you can add buttons to start, you know, different points or different videos within the video. And what happens is most of these applications, what they do is they go out and they create an XML file that'll go out and run all the various different tools that you need to construct a DVD file structure. And then once it's created that XML file, then it'll run the script and off it goes. And depending on how fast the system you have, it could take anywhere between half hour to like, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, depending on how slow your system is. But once you have that system, you'll have an ISO file that you can burn using any tool that you want to use, like if you're into K3B, which is, you know, burning in KDE, or you can use command line tools too once you have that ISO file of the DVD image.
Yeah, now Kino will export the necessary file formats that you can bring the videos, your project into, QDVD Author or DVD Author, right?
Yes. It'll go out and it'll create an actual DVD file structure for you. And then you could just burn it once you have that file structure. And it's pretty handy. Like I said, the only limitation is you can't create menus and pretty thumbnails and animations in the DVD. It's just pop the video in, you know, and it'll start up and start playing the video.
Now, isn't, what am I looking for? Not QDVD author. Kino has working with one of the DVD author projects. Which one is it?
He's looking to import. He was talking to Varlo Ken, actually, about importing the videos. What happens is, in Kino, you can have chapter indexes, and a lot of these other applications, you can go in and set your own chapter indexes. And what Dan Dennehy from the Kino Project was talking to Varlo was taking the chapter indexes that were in the video file in Kino and having them import into QDVD Author, and he's looking to implement that.
Cool. Now, Kino, QDVD Author, what's the other one?
DVD Styler.
DVD Styler are really great applications. And, you know, comparatively speaking, they've taken the capability of creating DVDs, anybody be able to create a DVD or even edit videos, light years ahead of where it was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And they keep getting better with each version, although when you approach this, it's not as easy as, say, Apple's iMovie. It's not as easy to do the editing of the videos. And then, because, you know, Apple has their own package, it's all tied together. iDVD would be the one for exporting out through the Apple. But the Kino has, and the DVD Styler and QDVD Author are really, you know, they're catching up, and there's a whole lot of flexibility that you have in all three of those applications. So it's definitely the way to go under Linux is working with those. Now, you've also been using TuVid, right?
Yes, TuVid is a nice application. TuVid is a two-piece approach to it. There's a bunch of command line tools that you can use to convert different video formats. I had a bunch of videos that I had in XVID format, and I wanted to watch them on my DVD player, so I used TuVid to convert them into MPEG-2. And then there's also the TuVid GUI, which is a Python-based GUI, where you can go in and once you have your files converted to MPEG-2 or MPEG-1, if you want to do a video CD, is you can go in and you can create a video CD or a DVD, and it'll go out and it'll create a menu with your videos added, and it's real nice to it. It's a fantastic application, and it's useful because you can convert your video formats, and you can also create some basic DVDs with menus and different movies playing on it.
And the DVDs that you've created, now have you created any video CDs too,
or is it just? No, I haven't done any video CDs, just DVDs.
And you haven't had any problems playing these DVDs on other?
I've tried them in two different DVD players. I have a Panasonic recorder that I have that it played in fine, and I also have a Sony player that's about 4 years old, and it played in that one as well.
Yeah. Because, you know, the DVD stuff aside is pretty standard technology. Once you start getting into encoding or re-encoding videos into other formats, it may make it difficult to play those videos back on other devices. Or other, you know, platforms. Have you experienced any of those problems?
No, not really. I'm pretty good. I can't complain.
Now, I know, as we move away for a little bit from creating, like, the DVDs, and we look at taking videos and re-encoding them, and the tools that are available under Linux for doing that, we're looking at the MJPEG toolset, Transcode, the M-encoder project out of MPlayer. Even Video LAN Client has the ability to re-encode files on the fly. And FFmpeg for re-encoding or even encoding your files to begin with. When you start messing around with these tools, it might be a little difficult to create a video that will play on other operating systems in some cases. Remember when we were doing playing around with the screen capture stuff there, Pat?
Yes.
There was an application called VNC record, which would record a VNC session out into a specific format, and you could use transcode to take that session and re-encode it into like an MPEG or any other video format supported by the transcode and your libraries. And it was really, really difficult to produce a video that would be played natively under Windows and under OS 10. Because with Windows Media Player out of the box, you really don't have a lot of video options right there. And probably one of the more well-known video codecs that's not Microsoft Windows Media Files or QuickTime Movie would be DivX or Xvid. And if I'm not mistaken, out of the box, Windows nor OS 10 will play Xvid or DivX videos without the proper libraries. Which, you know, produces a problem if you're trying to create videos and share them with anybody else. Particularly if you're doing family videos and you want to send them over to, you know, the relatives and have them be able to play it on their machine. That's even some of the MPEG files that we created using transcode or mEncoder would not play back properly under all operating systems.
Right. The whole thing that QDV Author and DVD Styler is, you need to have the file system required to play in your DVD player. It's not enough just to have an MPEG 2, you know, video encoded. You need to have the proper file mechanisms that the player will need to recognize and parse out the file and play it on your TV. So that's what those applications do. It'll go out and it'll generate all the necessary files in the file system for the DVD or the video CD. A lot of the newer DVD players play video CDs now, it seems.
Yes. Yeah, they do. I think even some of the, you know, if you bought a DVD player in the past year and a half, 2 years, it should play most video CDs.
Yeah, and there's even some DVD players, like the Philips line, that play DivX and Xvid videos as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I know. Go ahead, sorry.
They're pretty cheap. They're like 50, 60 bucks.
Yeah, my, well, Alan has a PlayStation Portable, and he uses, what is it, mEncoder? To re-encode. And with my GP2X, which really basically only plays Xvid, I use mEncoder all the time. Like any video, I just run it through mEncoder, a script that runs mEncoder, and it'll re-encode the video at the into Xvid, regardless of what format it's in. Windows Media Player, AVI, MPEG, MPEG-4 even, it'll do. So it's really, really handy utilities. Have you ever used transcode or mEncoder?
Not directly. I'm sure some of the applications that I've used use it on the back end for encoding.
Yeah, the transcode and mEncode and what else is there? MJPEG tools. They're really extremely powerful, but they're also extremely complicated to use. And it's not.
Yeah, you have to go through 30 pages of documentation to figure out what you need to do.
Yeah, it's not something you're just going to sit down and say, huh, I got this QuickTime file. I'm just going to convert it into a MPEG file. And, you know, MP1 or an Xvid file. It's not, you know, a simple in and out. There's a whole lot of switches and everything. And I haven't really found a simple graphical utility that would help take care of all that for you. I know there's some out there, but, you know, they're just not probably included with your distribution of Linux. Maybe a little difficult to get.
Now, there are a lot of applications that you can play back video in Linux. There's quite a bit of them these days. Some of the more powerful ones is Zine, which is great for doing the DVD playback. And there's also a Video LAN client, which can handle almost every codec that you can think of at it. And then there's mPlay, which is another fantastic application. What do you use, Dan?
Well, I primarily use mPlayer to watch videos, because that's the one I've used the most in the past, and I'm just so used to typing in mPlayer in the name of the video. But if I'm going to watch a DVD, I seem to prefer Zine over Video Land Client or even Emplayer. It seems to work the best. And then on the flip side, Zine seems to really work with all the other video formats that I've thrown at it, too. But just for ease of use the integration into Firefox or whatever your browser may be, the Emplayer plugin seems to handle QuickTime Video Windows Media files with ease if I'm looking at something off the web. I've also... Have you tried Totem?
Not really, no.
Wait, what's the KDE one? Autun?
Caffeine.
Is it Caffeine? Yeah, there's Caffeine, and isn't there No Autun? No Autun, or whatever it is? No Autun?
Yeah, that's kind of old, though.
Yeah. On my wife's system downstairs, it seems that every time we try and chuck in a DVD, even though I've tried to reset it repeatedly to a different application to bring up Zine, it always wants to bring up Totem, and for some reason Totem just never does well on DVD playback.
Caffeine is just a different front-end design.
Yeah, caffeine is kind of nice. I don't use it, though, that much. I just go straight with the Zine. Now, are you using the regular Zine user interface or the GLZine?
I use the regular one.
Okay.
And it runs pretty well. The nice thing about Zine is that it handles the DVD menus pretty well. You can navigate through the menus.
Yep, that is. And what I really love about that is you don't have to sit there and watch that crap in the front of the DVD. They like to throw in ads and stuff and previews for upcoming movies beyond what you get in like the special features, the trailers and stuff that you can't fast forward on your regular DVD player. You have to actually sit there and watch them. Disney's notorious for doing that. You ever see that? You have some of those DVDs?
No.
You sit there, you chuck it in, you got to go through like 5 minutes.
15 minutes of previews.
Of commercials and all sorts of crap until you can get to the menu. Sometimes you can fast forward through some of them, but you're sitting there, you're pressing the menu button, and you get that little no, you can't do this icon that comes up on the screen. And it's even on when we used to chuck them in the OS X laptop, same thing would happen. You couldn't go fast forward through those previews and commercials. And the FBI warning, because you always see it, right? You don't care about that FBI warning. When you rip your DVDs, do you rip the FBI warning too, or do you just...
Sometimes I do, just for laughs.
There you go. The MPAA is going to be knocking on your door. Oh. So where were we? We talked about some tools for re-encoding or encoding videos. Transcode, MJPEG tools, M-encoder. We said last episode FFmpeg to Theora is really... I mean, that's probably the easiest command line utility I've ever used for re-encoding videos. Have you ever tried using that?
Not directly, no.
FFmpeg to Theora is so simple to use.
Actually, no. Now that I think of it, I did use it.
It is. And Theora's got some really great quality.
It's real good, and the files are small.
There's only one problem with Theora, is that it's not natively supported by, like, Windows Media Player or QuickTime
Player. I know, you have to install a Video LAN client to play it back on a Windows system.
I thought they also had a plug-in for Windows Media Player.
They might.
But that's the annoying thing about all this. That your audience has to have the capability of playing back your videos. So if you're doing, if you're not doing Windows Media Player or QuickTime, then they have to have some kind of plugin. They'll have to actually go out and get the plugin to play your videos. And the thing is, you got the two big competing technologies, QuickTime and Windows Media Player out there, and QuickTime can't play Windows Media files. And Windows Media Player can't play QuickTime files. It's just, It's so annoying. But Linux can play them all. Not legally. In some areas. But they can play them all. Anything else you'd like to add, Pat?
It's getting better. You know, we've been playing with Linux for a few years now, and back in the day, it really sucked as far as video editing and DVD production. In the last year or two, it's really gotten so much better, and I'm sure it's going to continue getting better every day.
It is. It will. I'm sure it will, too. Good stuff. But this is what? This has been TWAT. Any shout-outs today, Pat?
Patrio. Hey, shout-out to Patrio.
And shout-outs to BinRev. For listening to BinRev today. So I'll definitely give shout-outs to Black Ratchet and Strom. And, who was on when I was listening today? I don't know. I can't remember. Shout-outs to all of them. And, of course...
Shout-out to the world.
Yes, to Droops and the rest of the people over there working hard to make TWAT a success.
It's a great idea, and I'm glad it's picking up steam.
This TWAT only gets better with your support, and by support, that would be you contributing your technology knowledge to the rest of the world. Simple to throw together, you know, 5, 10, 15-minute presentation into any of your, you know, your preferred audio recording device and send it off to the TWAT radio gang and become part of something really great.
Contribute back to the community.
That's it. That's what it's all about, sharing knowledge and having fun. So I guess we'll end it here, and we'll be back next month.
Peace.
Word out.
What are you doing? No, I think it's out of my mind.